Of Matthew 13, I used this passage in my message at the NAME conference, and it just stayed with me in terms of the mysteries that the Lord mentioned. He said, it's for you to know them, so we need to know them. Amen. How many like a good mystery? Mysteries are interesting. Yeah, did you read when you were in elementary school, the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew? I guess those were kind of mysteries. They always had something to solve. The trouble with today's mysteries is they're so dark, so almost evil. I'm glad the mysteries of the kingdom are uplifting, are powerful. Praise God. And so the Lord says in Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a good admonition. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now, in a world that is so concerned about equity and fairness and everything being done just so, verse 12 would slap them right in the face, wouldn't it? Get their attention. But what the Lord is saying is those who think they have a corner on the kingdom, like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, all the different factions that were there in Palestine at the time of the Lord, he said, they're not going to get it. They're already caught up in what they think is true and right, and they're not going to receive any more. Blind leaders of the blind, falling in the ditch. What a terrible thing. But thank God, when we open our minds and hearts to what the Lord has, there's much more that he has for us. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Kingdom mysteries involve things that I think are a mystery anyway, like a seed. I think a seed is a mystery, don't you? Those of you who are gardeners, those of you who have done some work with flower beds and so on. Of course, now you can go and buy starts. You can go to a store and they're already 6 inches high, and you don't have to start it from a seed. But it did start from a seed. And it's amazing to me that a small little kernel, it looks dead, can be put in the ground and watered, and in the sunlight, and lo and behold, up comes a, you know, in my classroom, in the spring especially, well, before Mother's Day, because we wanted those seeds to be planted in little pots and taken home to their mothers, but it was an experiment. We would get a little bottle, probably a baby's food bottle, and we wouldn't put any soil in it. We'd line it with paper towels so that it could be wet, and then put the seed inside the glass and in front of the paper towel and keep it good and wet. And sure enough, here comes a shoot going up and the root going down. Well, what was cool was to turn it on its side. And sure enough, the seed knew which way was up and which way was down, and turn it upright again, and it would make the adjustment. That's a mystery to me. That may seem like a small thing to a scientist, but they haven't explained it to my satisfaction. An amazing mystery. And thank God, the sowing of the seed starts out so small, but leads to growth and great harvest. And then the influence of leaven or yeast That often represents something negative, something bad, something that needs to be removed. That's the main picture about leaven or yeast in the scripture. But influence can be good too. Your influence in the community, your influence in your family, your influence to those that you're acquainted with should and could be good. Amen. And thank God that we're able to share the good news. The gospel is good news, and mainly because it brings salvation. That's the core message. And salvation not to be repented of, the scripture says. And I thank God that we have that aspect, because there is going to be a harvest. And the mysteries that we'll look at tonight talks about tares and wheat, good and bad fish. And the point is, there's going to be separation. They're not going to be together forever. There's going to be a separation. And if we want to be separated then, there needs to be a separation now. Amen. Not isolation, separation. So that you're not running with the crowd like you used to. You're not doing the things that you used to. And thank God, there's been a change. So the parable of the sower, the seed and the sower, and it's amazing how the Lord used things that were so familiar. Everybody knew that a sower goes out to sow. Everybody knew the farmer or the gardener has to prepare the soil and so on. But he explained that the seed is the word of God. And I'm impressed that in each instance, there was a production. There was outcome from the seed being sown. So you can be confident in the word of God. It's going to do the job. Amen. You don't have to enhance it. You don't have to embellish it. You don't have to add to it. The word of God will work. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that that's what we are committed to both grow by and encourage others to come into the knowledge of a relationship with God in a born-again experience, and then live for him as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. And the Lord talked about different soils and different conditions. He made mention of the wayside and how the birds pecked and picked, and the seed was not able to germinate like it should, and it was taken away. If you put out sunflower seeds, you know the birds really enjoy it, and the squirrels do too. And unless you like squirrels, you try to keep them away. And there was a blue jay at our feeder a few falls ago, this time of the year, and he would stick seeds in his cheek until it was sticking out like that, and then he would take off and deposit them wherever. Well, the magpies are observant. They want to get in on a feast, or whatever it might be. So they came to the little feeder where the seeds were and started pecking away. Well, the blue jay kind of felt like that was his territory. That was his alone. He flew over the top of the magpie and kicked him right in the head. Well, that's okay. That's showing who's boss. He didn't want the seeds to be shared. But the amazing thing is, on stony ground, the wicked one catches away the seeds that are sown in the heart. And the heart has got to be receptive. The heart's got to be open. And this is what the Lord was getting at here. But the wicked one catches away that seed, and it barely has any opportunity to germinate and grow, and it snatches it away, because obviously the value of this word is not appreciated in our day. I don't know if the Bible is still the number one seller in the world. It probably is, but there are probably other books that are, coming closer as well. Because the word of God is not appreciated. It's being underscored. It's being questioned. It's being criticized. Because there are some very straightforward teachings in the word of the Lord. Male and female made he them. That's crazy that that's being challenged today. And other things that we know are very straightforward in the word of God that are being pushed aside and or attempted to push it aside. Thank the Lord that we're able to hold on to the word of God. Stony ground is where the seed sprouted but had no root. And the sun came up and scorched it, and it withered. And the Lord said, it's like those who joyfully receive the word, but they don't have a root. They're not established in their understanding of the Lord. And when tribulation and persecution come along, they're offended and they stumble and they don't last. Then there's thorny ground, and it's always amazing to me how weeds can grow so much faster than what you've planted. And you got to constantly weed the things out. Thorns grew and caused the seed to be stunted. And the Lord said, you can get distracted. There are situations and conditions that arise that can cause you to not pay full attention, full benefit of the word of God in your life. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Think about that. The cares and the deceitfulness. That's obviously what the enemy is going to push, what he's going to present, what he's going to try to put the focus on. And then the result, of course, is being unfruitful, which is not what the Lord intends. But thank God there's good ground. And in order to be good ground, we've got to eliminate the process or the problems of the preceding three conditions that resulted in no production. We got to make sure we're dealing with all. You know, I want to claim I'm good ground. Well, if I'm good ground, then I've eliminated the problems of, you know, the wicked one coming and snatching out of my heart the word, stony ground, thorny ground, and I make myself good ground. It's not a predestination thing. Not you, and you are going to be saved. Too bad. You, and you, not going to make it. There isn't a predestination of the church. There is going to be a church. And the Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But it's our choice to be in that church or not. And the word of God is how we determine our involvement and the relationship we enter into. But thank God for good ground. It brought forth fruit, the hearing of the word and the understanding of it, and the amazing potential, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. My goodness, if you can invest money like that, we'd all be millionaires. And Brother Levi would have to take 10 laps, praise God, because of all the giving we'd give to move the mission. Praise God. But it's not the money. The love of money, we know, is a problem. But how we use that money, of course, is important. And so the Lord said to receive it and to believe it. Some will see but not see. Some will hear but not hear. What? How can you see but not see? How can you hear but not hear? Because they didn't pay attention. Because the focus was on something else. Because they felt like they were arrived already. I don't need it. I'm okay. I'm all right. But Isaiah 6 and 9, the Lord says to Isaiah, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Why in the world? Because they're having heart trouble. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. That understanding with the heart is a big deal. That's where we've got to make sure the seed is taking root, and it's going to bring forth fruit. Because the heart is you. It's not who you pretend to be. It's not who you think you are. It's you. And that's how basic and how foundational the Word of God needs to be in our lives. In Matthew 13 and 17, the Lord said, there are many prophets and righteous who wanted to see and hear what the disciples were experiencing. They looked ahead and they wanted to experience it. They wanted to see it. And they prophesied and they wanted to know. But the disciples were privileged to be partaking. That's why he said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And thank God we can step into that realm and say, Lord, I'm ready to hear. Praise God. And there are those in Scripture who made that statement very clear. Cornelius. It's easy to see why Cornelius was the first of the Gentiles to be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when Peter came to his dwelling, came to his home, and it was probably fairly substantial. He's a Roman centurion. He says, now we are all here to hear what you have to say. Amen. And so they were ready. They were open. And thank God they were filled and blessed in such an amazing way. And the disciples were receiving. The Pharisees were disbelieving. And things fell in those patterns. And they received. So, the mysteries. The kingdom of heaven is like. The Lord said that seven times in this passage. The kingdom of heaven is like the wheat and tares. And the good seed being sown in the field, the enemy sowed weeds among the wheat. I have driven through Nebraska in the fall, but I didn't see any wheat. Already harvested, I guess. But there's a plant called a darnel that looks like wheat. I haven't seen that either. But they say they can grow side by side and look, you know, just alike. But the enemy sowed that weed among the wheat, and the servants wondered, how did this happen? Well, there are things that are happening in this world, not in the church, in the world, that are causing these situations to grow and increase more and more. And our position has to be, I'm staying with the Word of God. That's the seed. Praise God. I'm not going to let the weeds overtake and throttle me and damage me. No, the wheat and the weeds will grow together. And there is going to be the separation. I mentioned separation at harvest time. The tares and the weeds will be bundled and burned. The wheat will be gathered in the barn. And praise God, we're going to be in his presence. The Lord explained that to his disciples and said, the Son of Man sows the good seed, and the field is the world, not the church, it's the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are children of the wicked one, the devil. The harvest is at the end of the world. And so we see how it all comes together. And those who offend or cause sin, do evil, will be cast into the fire, and the righteous will shine as the sun. Very, very different destinations there, isn't it? Very different outcomes. And that's where we've got to be assured of where we are. The mustard seed. We know the mustard seed is the least of seeds, but it grows greater than the herbs and garden plants. It's a tiny little thing, 2 millimeters in diameter. It comes in varieties of yellow, black, and white. And here again is the mystery of the seed. Out of that seed, the mustard seed, so tiny, comes vitamins A, B6, B12, C, E, and K. I didn't even know there were that many vitamins. It's a source of calcium, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, and zinc. Sounds like heavy metal to me, my goodness. But the seed, again, a mystery, grows large enough for birds to nest in, and growth is the key point. Everybody say growth. Growth, that's the key point. And that's what the Lord expects of his kingdom, is growth, not stagnation, not just being self-satisfied, being like, this is good. You know, I chuckle because it's such a, you judge the statement. I heard of someone getting up in a church and saying there were 8 in the ark, only 8. And there's only going to be 8 of us here in the church. That's all. Now, what kind of statement is that? Ludicrous at best. Certainly not what God expects in his kingdom. Amen. I think, thank God for growth. Leaven, yeast and bread dough, this passage that Jesus talked about here, three measures or 1.5 gallons of ground grain. Wow, that's quite a bit. And you add a little bit of yeast, and lo and behold, it spreads through the whole thing. The whole amount of flour is affected by the yeast. And that's influence. That influence can increase both negative and positive. And it's pretty incredible. The influence of the church, the influence of truth, should spread rapidly. Praise God. And the impact that you can have is important. Now, as we said earlier, leaven is oftentimes a type of what you don't want. The Bible talks about purge. Purge out that old leaven of malice and wickedness. And that's important too, because that's influence that we don't want to be in the church. But have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Unleavened bread was eaten at the Passover. The blood was applied of the lamb. And so we see the combination there of Jesus Christ and his blood and the truth of God's word coming in our lives. Treasure hid in the field. My goodness, we need to hurry. The man found the treasure and he hid it again. He wanted to make sure nobody else jumped on the deal before he did. Lots of things that we might comment there, but I think what he recognized, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been desiring. This is what I've been saving for. I'm not going to let it slip away. And so he joyfully sold everything that he had so that he could get the cash to go to the landowner and make the purchase, because that's where the treasure was. Amen. And then he joyfully took possession of that treasure. And serving God involves so much more than what is seen at first glance. Now, the field, you buy the field, and the field is going to have opportunities. It's going to have potential. It's also going to have challenges and work. And that's, we've got to be willing to do it all. Praise God. But the treasure will often be, and it is, much more than we first thought it was. Turns out to be much greater. Praise God. And we're thankful for it. The pearl of great price. The merchant knew the value of the pearl. He was a merchant of pearls. He bought and sold, no doubt. And he found the pearl that he had been looking for. It was beautiful. It was perfect. It was what he'd been dreaming about. And same thing, same reaction, sold all that he had so that he could buy that pearl. Well, we make purchases. Does the scripture say buy the truth? How do we make that transaction? It's not a commodity on the shelf. It's not something that you go to the store and say, I'm going to pound the truth. But we make that purchase by giving ourselves to the Lord, you know, surrendering or selling out. Ahab was he had sold himself to do evil. That's what Elijah told him. You've sold yourself to do evil. We sell ourselves, I guess, in a sense, to do good, to receive from the Lord what he wants to give us. Jesus told the church of Laodicea, buy of me. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, white raiment, and eye salve. And we see the value of those things, of course. Gold is our faith and purity. White raiment is righteousness. Eye salve. Laodicea was known for producing an eye salve that had healing qualities. And so he's using what is familiar and what is local to say, you need to have spiritual insights. You need to see beyond the here and now, because they said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. Everything's good. But the Lord says, no, you're wretched. You're poor. You're miserable. You're blind. Goodness. I wouldn't want to hear that assessment from the Lord. I want to be able to go on with him. Praise God. So we make the purchases of things that are good and right. The Lord purchased our salvation. You are bought with a price. And what a price. But thank God, he willingly made that purchase. And the Bible says he gave himself for the church. He gave himself. And that phrase is found in the New Testament 5 times. He gave himself. That's to help us to understand what the price was. You know, the Lord is not on the cross tonight. Thank God. He's not on the cross. But I've got to remember he went there. And it tells me 2 things. The cross tells me how bad sin is. That it took that magnitude, that sacrifice, to be able to deal with sin. And then it tells me how great salvation is. How powerful, how wonderful, how incredible salvation is. Because he paid for it on that cross. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can know that blessing. Now, Hebrews 12 and 2 is kind of a mystery in itself. Not the looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's not a mystery. That's a wonderful thing. But the next part, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy? Joy and cross don't go together. It was horrible torture, horrible punishment. So how does joy fit in with that statement? Well, the Lord looked ahead to a people who would make up his church. He looked ahead to those who would forsake darkness and walk in his light. Those who would love his name and be willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Who would be open to receive his Spirit. Praise God. And that was the joy that he was holding on to. He despised the shame. And he went on to say, it is finished. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that that is the completion and the fulfillment. And he willingly paid that price. The net is full of every kind of fish. He kept the good fish, cast the bad away. In the end of the world or the end of the age, there's going to be again that separation, the wicked from the just, and the wicked will be cast into the fire. And so these mysteries that he's talking about, how there's got to be the application, the understanding, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the scribe or the scholar instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like that householder. That householder brings forth from his treasure things old and new. I like to think that's the prophecies that the prophets and the righteous told about, wrote about, and wanted to see, but they didn't see it. And now the Lord says, you are seeing the fulfillment. Thank God for those prophecies that were old, but then there's a fulfillment that's new, and those blessings are coming to pass. Now we're reading the book of Acts, and the outpouring of the Spirit in chapter 2, and the growth of the church in the rest of the book, and how powerful and wonderful. That's to continue today. Amen. And not get this idea that there's only 8. No. 800. 8,000. Praise God. And what we want to see in the blessings of the Lord. Okay, in the remaining time, I wanted to go into some of the mysteries that are also in the Word of God that I think have great significance for us as the people of God. Romans 11:25. The apostle talks about a mystery. He said, I don't want you to misunderstand this mystery, and I want you to be ignorant of it, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In other words, the Lord left the outreach to Israel. Now, that doesn't mean an Israeli can't be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They are. Praise God. The Lord is moving in their midst. And it's a wonderful and positive and powerful thing. But as a people, as a whole, there's the church is the focus. Praise God. And the mystery is the Lord is going to return to Israel as a people for salvation, and there is going to be revival. Amen. Revelation will be fulfilled in a great part. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. Amen. That's my hope. Ephesians 3, we won't read the whole thing. Chapter 3, 2 through 11, talks about the church of the Jews and the Gentiles, them being together. Mystery in those verses is mentioned 3 times. It's a mystery how the Jews and the Gentiles can come together, because it was definitely not something that was allowed. It was definitely something that was really held on. That's why Peter going to Cornelius' house was such a step, because there were people who would condemn him readily. And in chapter 11, he had to go to the elders and report what he did, because they heard about it. And he tells them, you know, they received the Holy Ghost like we did. That means they spoke in tongues, and that's what the 6 other brethren that went with him verified. And then he told them they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and how powerful and how wonderful it was. Praise God. And then, in addition to mystery being mentioned 3 times, grace is mentioned 3 times, because grace at work in all who are saved by obeying truth is an amazing mystery. It's incredible that the Lord would have an eternal purpose. That passage in Ephesians 3 mentions the eternal purpose. And thank God that's where we can be identified as well. Verse 6, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Praise God. Thank the Lord that that's what we can offer to the world today. The mystery of Christ in you. I'll try to hurry through these. Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. The Lord poured his Spirit out upon all flesh. Took them a while to get that. And the Samaritans received it, and they rejoiced, and then the Gentiles received it, and they rejoiced as well. Praise God. And thank the Lord. In verse 28 of Colossians 1, Paul wanted to reach every man. He says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord. There's nobody that needs to be left out. Nobody. Praise God. And everybody can be included. And thank God, the power of the Lord is doing an amazing work. Amen. You know, 9/11, the news contained a lot of video of the attack on the World Trade Center, and it was hard to watch again. Those the planes striking the buildings and the fires and the collapse of the building. It was hard to watch, and you can't, you know, you have to put those feelings of animosity down for those who were responsible. But thank God, there is an outreach to Muslim nations that is going on right now. And they're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They're getting baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a huge price for them to pay. In college in Sitka, there were exchange students, international students who were there. And I was privileged to teach in the dorm. I didn't stay in the dorm. My wife and I had an apartment, but they would invite me to come and teach in the dorm. And his name was Sophie, not Sophie, I can't get the pronunciation. Anyway, Sophie or something like that. And he and his companion, a friend, you know, from the same country, from Africa, would sit there and listen. And I didn't make the connection. They're Muslim. And Sophie came to me after the session, and he was feeling the Lord. He was desiring to believe and claim Jesus Christ. And he said, my family will disown me. My family will not be happy about me making this choice. And the professor who has to be there, you know, stood up and, or stepped forward rather, Steve, we taught him Bible study. And he led Sophie through the sinner's prayer. And I wish that I had had more opportunity to share more truth with him. But it was amazing to hear him say, I want to believe, but my family is going to disown me. And yet, he made that choice. He said, I want to. And his friend was just sitting there, kind of shocked that he was stepping forward. So, thank God it's being spread everywhere, and the internet is a wonderful tool that's being used for outreach now, particularly from Montreal and in that area. We thank God for the so pray for our missionaries that are in countries that are not open, like, thank God, the freedoms we have right here. The Roberts in Morocco, the Taylors in Saudi Arabia and Oman. Probably not supposed to say that online, but ask the Lord to be with them and provide for them. Amen. So everyone, the mystery of God in Christ, Colossians 2 and 2. Their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ. The oneness, you know, the Bible talks about you've been grafted in. You're partaker of the root. That's why we believe oneness. That's why we believe holiness, separation, because you're a partaker of that root that Israel was. And so Jesus, speaking of the Father in John 14, and the disciples are listening carefully, when he says, "You know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Show him to us." And Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." That's far more than just unity. That's far more than just a togetherness in purpose. That's actual identity. And thank God we know what he was saying. And Colossians 1 and 19 says, "It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." And 2 Corinthians 5:19, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." Praise God. And so the mystery, it's wonderful. The mystery of the church. Ephesians 5:32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." The relationship that he used here on earth is a husband and wife. And the love for the wife being mentioned three times. It's not to be taken for granted. It's not to be minimized. It's not to be overlooked. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for it. And that's the first of the "gave himself" phrases. And love your wife as much as you love your own body, your own self. And there's an issue of selfishness in our world today. Well, it's always been there, but it seems like it's gotten even worse. But we are thankful for the church. And the Lord is preparing the church. So the washing of the water by the word. There's that word again. We claim that word. We preach that word. We treasure that word. And we let the word do a work in our lives. Amen. And a washing is what we've got to be open to. Amen. And thank God for it. Does every child kind of squish their face up and want to turn away and so on when you take a washcloth to them? I don't know if I've seen any child just stand there blissfully and scrub away. No, they're wanting to avoid. Sometimes that's the way we are. And we've got to commit ourselves again, commission or consecrate ourselves again to doing what the word can do in our lives and what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Because the church is glorious and holy. It doesn't have spot or blemish or wrinkle. Amen. It's to be what God wants it to be. And the Lord said, don't take them out of the world, but keep them. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're here to be an influence. Otherwise, why take a chance on backsliding? Why, the moment you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you began to speak in tongues, bang, you're taken out of this world. Praise God. The reason the Lord left you here is so that you could be an influence, so that you can share the word. Amen. So that you could be an example. Not a, "You ought to do, you should." No. No, that's, you didn't receive the word that way. You need to remember how people were gentle with you, how people were kind to you, how people prayed for you, and not be this condemning, you know, how long are you going to last this time? No, understand you're going to reach out. You're going to love. You're going to desire. Praise God. And to be that example. The catching away of the church. 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Praise God. Then he went on to say, "In the twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sounds." and the trumpet, of course, and with the voice of the archangel and the shout. Boy, that's going to get our attention, isn't it? Praise God. And we need to be listening. The dead raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. It's a mystery. How is a mortal going to put on immortality? How is the corruptible going to put on incorruption? Praise God. Incredible mystery, but I'm thankful we're going to experience it. It's going to be part of our future. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the comfort we can get from those words, because we know what direction this world is headed in, and yet we want to be prepared. Praise God. Because the kingdom of heaven and its influence on the earth is what the Lord desires. So we'll wrap it up here with looking at the Lord teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. That's what we desire. And that's us. That's me. That's you. That's our purpose. That's the example. That's the influence. Praise God that you can live for God. You can be an overcomer. You can make it to serve the Lord. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the kingdom is not, it's not meat and drink. You know, it's not the feasts and holy days and so on that the Jews were so caught up in. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh my, the Holy Ghost has so much that we can experience beyond you know, our initial infilling. And don't stop at the initial infilling. Just let it keep happening and let it keep changing you. Let it keep directing you. Let it keep blessing you. Praise God. 2 Peter 3:13, according to his promise, Peter wrote, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise God. That's his promise, and that's what we're looking for. And it behooves us then to be ready. Be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's how Peter goes on to include in his message. And in verse 10 of 2 Peter 3, he says the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. In verse 12, he says, and being on fire, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And these drastic things are coming upon the earth. And we've got to make sure we're ready. We're in the place where we're going to be where we need to be. Because the long suffering of God is designed for bringing us to salvation. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Does the Lord have that much mercy? Does the Lord pour out that much Holy Ghost? Praise God. Oh, yes. And I'm thankful that we can include everyone in the message, because his long-suffering brings salvation. So, it's our privilege to be involved in the sowing, to be involved in the fishing, to be involved in the growing and the reaping. Because he uses all those terms that were so familiar in the land of Israel. And this was their life. This is how they lived and provided for their families, the food and so on that was necessary. And we have that responsibility for the kingdom here and now. Praise God. And the ends of the earth are come, and we need to be prepared to do the work of God and to show forth his glory and power. Stand with me, please, if you would. The mysteries. I'm thankful that it's something we can glean from the Word of God of what is there, and be able to share with people in this day and hour Praise God. And not so much just, talk about Nebuchadnezzar's image and Daniel's 70 weeks and explain all the intricacies of those prophecies, but no, to look at how simple the salvation message is and to present it with a burden, with truth, and a desire to see lives changed. Praise God. And to see victories won in their lives. And they don't have to be bound. They don't have to be addicted. They don't have to be trapped in the things that made up their lives. No, they can have freedom and joy and liberty and peace and comfort and blessing and on, the abundance of the Lord. Praise God. And I'm thankful we can enjoy what God has given. Let's just give him praise right now for what we've received and what we know. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, my Savior, I praise you and worship you. I thank you, Lord. I glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, continue your work. Continue your blessing, your pouring out, Lord, of your spirit and power. God, that we can be used of you. God, that we can be strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man. Oh, Lord, continuing to overcome. Continuing, Lord, to be a blessing. Continuing, oh, God, to show truth to this world. Oh, Lord God, empower us in your spirit. Anoint us in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Use us, Lord, as we walk in the light and be able to share that light as well. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you now for your goodness, your wonderful word, your precious word, your eternal word. Thank you for it, Lord. Help us and lead us and guide us even more that we can share that word with others. Yes, Lord, that we can see the results that your word brings, the growth, the increase, the harvest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you now. We worship you now. We glorify you now. You're worthy, Lord, of all of our praise today. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your goodness. Oh, God, we praise you. Use us now, Lord, I pray, for your kingdom. Use us, Lord Jesus, in your spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Savior, we want your church to grow. We want your church to increase. We want your church to have powerful influence. Thank you, Lord. God, we lift up your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Mysteries that... The apostles would try to explain and try to show us and try to help us to understand. I think it's just the first page. I think there's so much more. Praise God. And it's not a mysterious thing or a mystic thing. You know, not something you sit on a pole for several years trying to figure out, you know, any of those crazy things. No, the Lord said, occupy till I come. Need to see people living an overcoming life. Amen. See people being victorious. See people going through hardship, tribulation, tests, trials. Nothing fun about those at all. But to see the hand of the Lord being manifest in your life as you traverse those things. Praise God. And you're still hanging on. You're still believing. You're still walking in the Spirit in obedience to the Word of God. And He makes us triumphant. Thank the Lord. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, thank you for being in the house of the Lord. And invite you downstairs for a wonderful snack and support of Move the Mission. We'll get it up as high as we can. And then next Sunday, this coming Sunday, will be the last opportunity we have to give, and then we have to submit it to the district. So we'll let it grow as much as we can, and then look ahead to Christmas for Christ. Praise God. Amen. Seems like it never ends, does it? Well, Eternity is not going to end in His presence either. And you'll be so glad, so thankful that you were obedient to the Word of God. All right, we'll be dismissed and gather downstairs, please.